glorified. And so many times we allow the thoughts of our lives to keep us in bondage. The thought process of how we think, how we dream, how we ponder, how we talk to one another. Thoughts. Everybody say thoughts. Thoughts are important. And thoughts, the thought process behind how we live our lives are so important. And I believe the Apostle Paul knew that this was a key thing for us as followers of Christ. That our thought process, that the words that we say, the things that we think on, the things that we ponder are pleasing to the Lord. And he reminds us of this in the Word of God in Philippians chapter 4. And if you're there, say, praise the Lord. And this is the scripture that I want you guys to memorize and get it in your hearts. Chapter 4 and verse 8. It says this, and read it out loud with me if you will. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. One more time. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So, Father, I pray over these next few moments, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would, Lord, permeate every part of the service right now. Lord, I am nothing without you, and I need your strength. I need you, Lord, to speak your word through this vessel. God, I pray that as the word is being spoken, and as your Spirit is leading in this moment, God, I thank you that you'll speak to every heart, Lord, in this room. Everyone watching online, God, that you have, Lord, a distinct word for them. They'll hear it in a way differently than somebody else will, God. And you'll have a word, a right now moment, God, word for them right now at this place and this junction in their lives, a season in their life, God, that you remind them of the importance of this word today. Lord, make it a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Do a work today, we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Give somebody a fist bump or a high five before you're seated. God bless you guys. Now, I want us to turn back, if you will, to go to chapter 1, and we're going to walk through a little bit of Paul's writing to the church in Philippi. Paul is very fond of this church, and this letter is more of a letter of praising them, thanking them for their support, both keeping him on the field, but also his the prayers of the saints, those who he's nurtured, he's connected with, he's raised this church up in Philippi, and now he's writing this letter out of thanksgiving, but reminding them of some truths that we need to be reminded of today. But the thing that I want you to see here this morning is that there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. I thought we were a Pentecostal church, James, come on. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. However, even for the life of the believer, there is a constant surrender, everybody say surrender, to the will of God, the Word of God. There is a constant war that rages for our very soul. Did you know that? Did you know you have an enemy of your soul? And there is a constant war being raged for your soul. There is where we must get the Word of God in us. And that's why I implore you, I beg you, I continually remind us that we've got to be people of the Word. You've got to love this Word. You've got to get the Word in you. And one thing that we're seeing over and over again in the prayer room is that people just aren't reading the Bible. They'll come in, they'll say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to so-and-so church. And I'll ask him, well, how often do you read your Bible? Well, I know I need to be reading my Bible more. If I were to ask you, take a poll in this room today, a percentage of your week, how much time you read the Word of God, it's going to get real quiet here right now in a minute. How much time you really read the Word of God and get the Word of God in your heart, I would probably not be so happy that of the lower percentage of how much we read the Word of God. Even in pastoral realm, we see stats of pastors that mostly will just read the Bible as they prepare for a message, and there's no relational connection with the Word of God in their devotional prayer life. We've got to be people of the Word in this last day hour that we're living in. We've got to be professing and knowing and meditating upon the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God is where the power of the Holy Spirit will manifest Himself in our hearts and through us. And we've got to dwell on the power of the Holy, of this Holy Spirit working in His Word so that our thought process will be right. And that when my mind and my thoughts start going in a negative pattern, in a negative way, I can be reminded of the Word of God that will quicken me and remind me of the foundation of the truth that I stand on. Because we don't always feel holy. Hello? We don't always feel Christian. Hello? We get checks, and sometimes we get checks in our hearts, and we say, something's not right. All right, my attitude's not right, or this is not right. But we have to go back to the Word of God that shows us what truth is. And Paul said, I want you to be reminded. I want you to think on things that are true. Think on things that are noble. Think on things that are trustworthy. Those are the things that you can bank on, that you can count on. Those things that are going to bring glory and honor to God. What is your thought process? What are you thinking on? What are you dwelling on? What are you allowing your mind to take in? Paul says, change that. Sometimes we have to do a check and see, Lord, am I pleasing you with my thought process? This is why we need the Word of God in us. But it's also where we need the power of the Holy Spirit living us. We need to be baptized in the presence of Almighty God in His Holy Spirit to lead us and speak to us. And so we can hear the nudges and we can feel where God's moving and we can be participants in what He's already doing. So it's my prayer that over the next few weeks, we spend moments like this, that as we look into the life of the Apostle Paul, that we glean from life-changing principles in God's Word that will set the captives free and break every chain. You and I cannot break chains in our own power. It has to be the power of God in us. It has to be His Word, His authority in our lives. The healing of the mind, those who are battling with depression this morning in this room and those watching online, He can break the power and the chain of depression in your life. He can break it in Jesus' name. Those who are struggling with anxiety and restlessness and worry, He can break every chain. I know that He can. It's in His Word. And I stand on His Word this morning. Those who deal with panic attacks, He can break every chain in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, He can break every chain. I'll be real transparent with you. I'll share a quick story of something that happened in my life when I was a boy. You guys like going to the beach? Anybody like going to the beach? Myrtle Beach? Hello? Yeah, we're not too far from there. But when I was a kid, you know, every summer, that was like the trip that my mom and dad would go on. We'd take us boys to Myrtle Beach. And we always looked forward to that. It was like our big trip of the year. School would be out, and we'd head to Myrtle Beach for a few days. And I'll never forget one time we checked into a hotel. We were excited. You know, we packed and got there, and we checked in at the hotel. And Scott and I, my brother, we couldn't wait to get our swim trunks on and get our rafts and go out to the ocean and start riding waves or going swimming in the swimming pool. And so we checked in the room and started unloading the luggage. And I remember Mom standing over by the car, and she just had this look on her face like she'd seen a ghost or something. She just looked like washed out, and she didn't feel good. And I said, "What's going on? What's the matter, Mom?" And she said that she was having what was called a panic attack, and I didn't know what that was at the time. I was too young to understand that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about, panic attacks? And it's something that she struggled with, depression and anxiety. Some of you knew my mom, and I'm thankful today that she is with the Lord, and she knows Jesus, and she's with God in heaven. But in during those seasons of that time in our lives, she was going through a lot of anxiety and a lot of depression, and so she was having these panic attacks. And I just remember in that moment, she says, "We've got to go back home," because she couldn't stay. And we had to pack everything back into the car and drive all the way back home from her. And we didn't get to be at the beach that week because Mom was having a pain, and she had to get home. I didn't understand that, but I understand one thing. It was very real. And people that have those situations, it's very real for them. There's a mental place. There's a mental stress. There's anxiety and depression that can take over that mind. And when you dwell on the things and you're in the middle of the battle, you're in the middle of the challenges. Listen, I also see and also have seen where my mom, in the middle of those seasons, would get into her room and it would become a prayer closet. And there would be shouts of prayer going up for hours in her room. I would come home from school and the windows would be open during the summer months or the warmer months. And I could hear her praying for her kids, praying for her husband, praying that God would break off those chains of depression off of her life. And listen, I want you to know that there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain of depression and anxiety and panic attacks. But it takes intentionality on our part to know the Word of God. to know the power there is in the Holy Spirit, to know there's a place in prayer that I can get to and where that God can touch my emotional health. Emotional health is one of the top leading health issues in our society today. But I want you to ask you, do you believe that Jesus holds the answers to life's troubles? I love the psalmist in 139:14. It says that, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, O Lord. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. See, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at your neighbor and say, you're wonderfully made. You're wonderfully made. That was a good place, husbands, to just let your wife know that they're wonderfully made. They're blessed and highly favored. And the psalmist says in 14, he says, I will praise you. I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And in verse 23, the psalmist says, search me, God, and know my heart. And he says, test me and know my anxious thoughts. I wonder this morning in this room and those watching online, how many are dealing with anxious thoughts today? I would say probably one out of two, if not two out of two, everybody in the room, you're dealing with some kind of level of concern. It may not be defined as anxiety or anxiousness, but maybe there is an overwhelming, overarching worry or concern in your life. That's a pretty normal human tendency to have. And I just want to remind us this morning that brothers and sisters in the community of faith, it's my prayer that may we live our lives in such a way to where those around us would be life receivers and become life givers because we are giving life. To where the fruit of the Holy Spirit is evident in our lives, that we are encouragers, that we are joyful, that we are purposeful, that we are life-giving, and that we're optimistic about the things of God. The opposite, and I reminded us of this last week, that if you sing gloom, despair, and agony on me, then you're going to get people around you to sing the same song. And that song is not as fun as sing the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'd rather sing the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now let's go to Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to give you a little bit of a backdrop to the words of Paul leading up to chapter 4. Because in chapter 4 he says, I want you to be thinking of things that are trustworthy, that are noble, that are true. But let me give you some backdrop on why that is so powerful and profound that he's reached that place in his mental state. Paul writes and encourages the Philippian believers that even though they face persecution and danger, their lives as Christians should be consistent with the truth of God in Jesus who gave himself up in love for others. So we see the portrait of Jesus Christ as a humble servant serves as the core of Paul's teaching in this letter. He's painting a picture of Jesus Christ, the humble servant. He's not writing to the Philippians in response to a crisis, even though he's in the middle of a crisis, as he did with the Galatians and the Colossians. Rather, he's writing to express his appreciation and his affection for the Philippian believers. He loves the Philippian believers. And he's letting them know this in this letter of affection and just encouragement to them. But what I find most amazing is that he writes this letter in the midst of being chained. He's in chains. He's imprisoned. He's in horrible conditions and he's bound. And several times he mentions the word in chains. Follow with me in chapter 1, and I'll begin with verse 3, and we'll kind of walk through this a little bit. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. You guys see that? In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from this first day until now. And I love this in verse 6. Underline this word here. Being confident. Everybody say confident. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you be faithful to carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you, about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains, everybody say chains, whether I am in chains, underline that or circle that word if you will, or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And look down, if you will, again in verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. And this is where he begins to do this paradigm shift in his thinking that it marvels me. As a result of it, he said, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard to everyone else that I am in chains. Everybody say in chains. I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, everybody say chains again. He's letting us know that he's in chains. Most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. I love that he's reminding us, and again, in verse 17, the former preached Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But watch this in verse 18. But what does that matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Paul has found a place in his life that even though he is not being free from chains, in the middle of his struggle, he is rejoicing because of his pain, where his pain is bringing a proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His pain is bringing glory to God. In your pain, in your suffering, in your sickness, in your disease, in your anxiety, in your depression, you can give glory to God in the middle of your circumstance. You can give glory to God in the middle of your storm. And you can stand in the middle of that storm. You can say, Lord, no matter hell or high water, I'm going to lift your name up. I'm going to give you praise in the middle of my struggle. And mentally, that's where Paul had gotten to. Spiritually, that's where he had gotten to. That's where he had matured to. And it's my prayer as I follow Jesus Christ, and I've followed him since I was at the age of 14 for many years now, it's my prayer that I can get to a place in my life that no matter what I face, I know that my God is with me, even if I don't know that I can feel him around me. I know because his word says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know that he is mine and I am his and that God is with me. In the middle of it, no matter what I'm going through. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Several times he mentions the words in chains, in chains, in chains, in chains. What I see when I read this letter that Paul is writing to his beloved people in Philippi, he had reached a place in his relationship with God to where he was confident. Everybody say confident. Confident that God is who he says he is, that God can do what he says he will do, that God is able to do immeasurably, abundantly above all that I would ever ask or imagine because he is God. Confidence. He had reached a place in his life where he said in Galatians 2:20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. It doesn't matter if I'm in chains or not. I'm crucified. I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. In the life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, if my righteousness could be attained to my own efforts, then what good was it for God to send his only Son to die for me? What good is this righteousness? And what good is that? No, it's about him and not about me. It's about me dying and about him living. It's about me glorifying him even in my difficulty. It's not about me saying, oh, woe is me, look at me, please feel sorry for me. No, it's about me saying, in the middle of my difficulty, I want you to see that I'm not giving up, I'm not throwing in the towel, I'm not quitting on God, I'm not turning my back on the church, I'm not, because God is God who he says he is, he's going to do what he says he's going to do, he's going to be who he says he is, and I'm going to serve him no matter what I go through. I wish that all could be healed when they're sick. But I've pastored long enough, and Pastor Bernie will testify as well, not everybody is healed the way that we want to see them get healed. I love when people are healed of terminal diseases. I'm baffled when somebody has... I had a real good friend of mine years ago. We were in Bible study one night, a home group, and man, he complained of his ankle being sore. Within 6 months, he died of bone cancer. But when we would go to the hospital to visit him, there was not one time that I went in that room that I didn't leave encouraged by him because his faith was so strong. You guys ever known somebody like that? Facing terminal illness, facing a place in their life where nobody wants to go and everybody wants to see him get healed, and we're praying. And I remember sitting in my office one day, and I was perplexed by this as a young pastor. And I said, Lord, the church is praying for Dave. God, we're standing, we love him, he's got a young family to take care of. I don't understand why you won't heal him, why we haven't seen healing yet. And I never forget the Holy Spirit stopped me in my tracks, buddy, and he says, is it going to take his healing for you to believe in me to know that I'm who I said I would be? Is it going to take me healing him for you to believe in who I am? And I said, no, Lord, I believe in your sovereignty. And I learned an important lesson there, that God is, he's sovereign, and God's plans are higher than my plans. I don't understand his ways. His ways are higher than mine. I do understand this, that if we are promised eternal life, how long is eternity? That's a long time. How long is this lifespan? We're promised maybe 80 years, maybe more. You know, but in the span of eternity, this is only just a whisper, just a moment in time. I do know that. I do know that my word says that God, that there's nothing impossible for him. I do read and see the narrative that he is sovereign, that he is just. I see so many narratives to where I can say, Lord, I may not understand why you're allowing me to go through this thing, but I give you praise for who you are in the middle of it. That's where I see the power of God. When you stand in the middle of your crisis and you give him praise. Dave, every time I'd go in the hospital room, he'd say, man, hey, great to see you. Is there something I could pray with you about while you're here? And I'm like, dude, you're dying of cancer. I'm coming in. You want to pray for me? And he said, yeah, I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you today. And it would break me. I say, Lord, never let me live a day in my life where I take this life for granted. And let my life give you glory in the middle of my pain, in the middle of my good days, in the middle of my bad days. Let every day, may I give you glory, may I give you honor, Lord, of my life. I don't know what you're struggling with today. I could go around this room, and I know some of your stories, you've been through some stuff. It would break our hearts to hear some difficult things that you've gone through, or maybe you're going through right now. But I want you to know this. In the middle of that storm, if you think on things that are true, things that are noble, things that are trustworthy. If you think on giving glory to God in the middle of your circumstance, I know that that honors him. I know that that honors him, and he is pleased with that. That you stand on his word, you stand on his promises, and you give him glory in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your pain. Hallelujah. Psalm 13, the psalmist says this, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And some days it feels that way, right? And day after day have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer me, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust. Everybody say trust. See, in the middle of that, the psalmist is saying, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing praise, for he has been good to me. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Some of you have been through some stuff, and you feel or have felt like you have every right to throw in the towel. And you could be justified by doing so. Giving up on God, giving up on the church, giving up on your family, giving up on your spouse, giving up on your friend, and mostly giving up on God. It breaks my heart as a pastor. It breaks my heart as a fellow believer. And the enemy of our soul likes to put us in the boxing ring of life and get us to the corner and pin us in. That's the goal of a boxer in a boxing ring, is to get you in the corner so they can punch your guts and they can punch your face and they can take control over your situation. And that's how life feels sometimes, doesn't it? Trapped, no way out, no way up, no way over, no way under, no way around. Only way is through it. The only way is through it. And aren't you thankful today that we have a Savior, his name is Jesus, who walks through the fire with us and will help us get through it in his name, in his strength, in his power. For he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He will go before us. He will go behind us. He will go beside us. He is who he says he is. You see, fear is the opposite of fear is pushing through. Pushing through. It's keeping at it. It's not giving up. It's not throwing in the towel. It's not quitting on it. It's pushing through. So how mentally, Paul, how did you get to a place where you're in chains? This is the fourth time he's in prison for preaching the gospel. And he's saying, in this moment, in my chains, in this state, in this, I rejoice. Everybody say rejoice. I rejoice in this right now, in this season of my life. I rejoice. And you've got to get to a place in your heart and your life, no matter what you're going through right now, I want you to stand in the middle of that and say, Lord, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to lift you up in the middle of my pain, in the middle of my anxiety, in the middle of my depression. I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus and exalt you for who you are, because you're worthy of my praise. How mentally, Paul? Paul has every right to throw in the towel. Verse 7, he's in chains. Verse 13, he's in chains. Verse 16, put here, chains, dungeon. Verse 17, in chains. However, somehow, some way, he reaches somewhere deep in his spirit. Don't you love people like that? I love getting around saints that have served the Lord for many years and know what it means to walk through a difficult season, to walk through a place of loneliness and difficulty, yet they still praise God in the middle of that, to walk through some places where they have prodigal sons and daughters and they're holding out prayers and they're holding out hope and they're praying and they're praying and they're praying. Some of you have been praying prayers for many years and you've not seen the answer to it yet, but yet when you come in here on Sunday morning, you're lifting your hands and you're rejoicing because you know God is who He says He would be. That encourages us in the faith. That encourages us younger folks. Can I still say I'm a younger folk even though I'm 58? Peggy, that encourages me when I see you worship God, when I know you've gone through some stuff. Pat, that encourages me when I see you come in on a Sunday morning to worship God even in the middle of a very difficult season in your life. It encourages me when I look at your lives and I see, even though you go through struggles, you go through difficulties, that you're here and you're worshiping God, you're bringing your Bibles, you're reading the Word of God, you're serving in the church, you're serving up until wee hours in the morning for an outreach that we're doing, you're serving and you're loving God in the middle of things that I know that are going on in your lives that are not easy. That's why I believe that the gospel road, the road that leads to everlasting life, is a narrow path. Narrow is the way that Jesus wants us to follow, but broad is the way, the Bible says, to destruction, the easy road. How many, Mary Alice, people have we known through our ministry and our lives that once were zealous for God, that were on fire for God, that loved God, came to church, but something happened, it just rocked their world, and they just turned away from God, turned away from the church, they gave up on God. That breaks my heart when people turn their back on the church and leave the church or leave God because of difficulty, because of disappointments, or blaming people in the church for whatever they went through and giving up on God. There's a place mentally where Paul says, spiritually, mentally, physically, all those things come together holistically, if you will. We've got to get to a place where Paul says, whatever things are true, whatever things are trustworthy, whatever things are noble, I want you to be thinking on those such things. In other words, think on the principles of God and His Word. Think on these things. Think on what Matthew reminded us this morning of 1 Corinthians 13, that love is the greatest of all. Amen? Amen? And that's what we're doing around here. We're doing three things that I want us to do with all of our heart. First of all, we're loving God. Amen? Say it with me. Loving God, loving people, and we're doing it with joy. Sometimes, some way, we have to reach deep into our hearts. And this is where I see Paul doing this, deep in his spirit. And he says, in Philippians, he says, I can, deep in my spirit, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do this thing. This difficult thing I'm going through, I can do it because He's going to give me the strength to get through this thing. No matter what I go through, I can do this thing through Christ who gives me strength. I can do this thing. I believe one of the key ingredients in Paul's faith journey was a confidence in his God. He knew his God. One big word I see that Paul records, and one we can easily read over without much thought. Look at verse 14, Philippians 1:14. He says, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident. Everybody say confident. Confident in the Lord. Confident of the Lord. Trusting in my God and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. So what he is saying here is that he's come to a place of confidence in the Word of God. Look at that one more time. And because of my chains, Most of my brothers and sisters have become confident. Because of your chains, because of your difficulty, there is power. Listen, there is power in your difficulty. You can turn that for good, to give glory to God. And because of your confidence in the Lord and your difficulty, what a great testimony to everybody else around you. That you serve God in the middle of your pain. I have seen the testimony of my life lived out more so in the rub and the true grit of life in the places of difficulty in my life. When I go through those seasons and people still see a consistency in my life that I still love God, I'm believing, and I don't lose the smile off my face. They say, how do you get through that like that? How do you do that? And I'm able to share the word. It's simply because of the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not easy in the physical. It's not easy in the human. But it's the power of God that works in us and through us. Amen? Oh, thank you, Lord, to give glory to God in the middle of your pain. That's a key ingredient, confidence. And look at verse 16. He is saying here, I am put here in chains. I am in prison. I'm in a dungeon. And in verse 18, I love what there's a big turn here in verse 18. Now watch this. He says, but because of this, what is this? Because of the proclamation of the gospel, right? Because it's not about me, it's about him. It says, because of this, not because of his pain or being in chains, but he is saying, because of the chains, I can rejoice because I'm proclaiming the gospel in the middle of my pain. And because of my proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's where I rejoice. That's where I find pleasure in giving God glory and lifting him up in the middle of my situation. Listen, I don't know exactly what you're going through, and I can relate in some aspects and some of the things that you walk through, many things that I've not walked through, but I've walked alongside of people that have. But I know that pain is real. I know that life can hurt. I know those things are true. But I also can rejoice in seeing your faith in God in the middle of those things. Your faith in God not to give up, not to throw in the towel, not to quit, but to even lean more into the things of God, even have more faith because he is with you, and you know his word, you know his sovereign, even though you might not see the answer to the prayer that you want to see, but you trust in God for who he says he is. That's where you know the word of God, and it's in you. The big turn here, he says, because of this proclamation of the gospel, I rejoice. Now watch this in verse 19. Verse 19, are you guys still with me? I love this when he turns it around. And he says this, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. For my deliverance. In verse 20, this is huge. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage. Everybody say courage. So that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And this is where he makes the statement that we've quoted and we've learned. It says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is my gain, because it's going to be the proclamation of the gospel. He said, I rejoice in this. What a profound statement. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And if I'm going to live in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better by far, but is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. I love when God does heal and keep someone here with us longer. Because I want you to be on this side. I want you to help us reach people for Jesus. And I pray life, and I pray strength, and I pray health for everybody in our family, in our community of faith. But aren't you looking forward to the day when you're standing in the presence of a living God? And the Bible gives us a picture of this when we take on this incorruptible body. The mystery of that transformation. No more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow. He's going to wipe away every tear from your eye. And I rejoice that that is a promise to us who believe. But it's not easy on this side to let go, is it? But he says, I will continue with all of you. Verse 26, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Now, I love this. In verse 27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of Christ. One more time. Whatever happens, whatever you're going through, conduct yourselves in a manner that will bring glory and honor to God. Now, bringing it home closer to you and where you're at, I'm going to challenge all of us. Is that where we're at right now in life? Our challenges, our difficulties, the things that come against us, are we allowing those things to bring glory to God? And this is a fine balance right here. Or are we bringing pity upon ourselves and kind of living in that lane where we want people to see our suffering? And so are we glorifying our suffering, or are we glorifying the God in our suffering? That's a challenge for all of us. What song are we singing? Paul said in verse 20, I eagerly expect and hope not to bring shame by my weakness, but courage to lift up Christ in and through my situation. And this is amazing, and I'm going to wrap it up with this right here. Verse 21, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, even in chains, in prison, Paul had reached a place in his life where he found his deliverance. He found his freedom in the very cause for which he lived and gave his life for, the cause of Christ, the proclamation of the gospel. I want to share a short video with you in closing. It's a missionary it's a powerful video where he shares that in his dying, he's giving glory and honor to God. If you could play that for me, I'd appreciate it.
Follow you down the side by faith and say, God, whatever you want. Whatever you want, we'll do. And God spoke so powerfully in my heart. He said, I called you to work for me full time as a child, and you've gone away from that. But it was that moment, that day, that God renewed that call, and cracks in my heart that had so much busyness of church in it that I felt like I was doing his will, when really what I was doing was just making myself feel better. I remember as a little kid living in the suburb of San Diego, we had a big liquid amber tree out in the front yard, and maybe fall was finally there. I would go out and climb this tree with my pocket knife and in my pocket and a leather belt on, a little leather pouch on with something in it. I get to the top of the tree and I could look out over this city up to the mountains, and there was a yearning and a longing to be out where nobody was. And our desire when it came to missions has always been to be somewhere where there wasn't somebody already there doing something. But we didn't know of anybody that was working along the borders of Iran and Iraq and Syria and Turkey.
We lost it. This missionary Stan is giving a testimony of his life and how God has put them in a very difficult place in Turkey. And towards the end of this video, you see that he talks about there's a price to pay for preaching of the gospel. And we didn't know what the price would be, but it came to where he had terminal cancer. And so what you're seeing is what happened with the Turks, though, when they saw his faith. And they saw the determination for him to stay on the field and preach the gospel, even though he's dying of terminal cancer. In the middle of that, so many Turks, after he passes away, come to know Jesus Christ. And he's living out this story that Paul is saying here, that even in chains, even in my sickness, even in my dying, even in death, did you know, guys, that even in death, God's going to get the victory, he's going to get the glory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Where is that? Because the grave has no victory. Our victory is in Jesus Christ. We're going to live for eternity. We're going to live, and so our lives are reflecting the glory of God in this temporal state. It's a powerful testimony. I would encourage you to look it up. it's dying out loud, and it's a story of this missionary stand in Turkey. But I want us to get to a place in our lives like this missionary, like the Apostle Paul, get to a place that no matter what we're going through, that we're not gloating and not boasting in our defeat, in our weakness. Listen, we got to get to a place, guys, where we understand that even in our difficulty, we still give glory to God in the middle of that. It's not woe is me and gloom, despair, and agony on me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's great is thy faithfulness in the middle of my difficulty. That's the song we need to be singing. We need to change the narrative. Even in Rock Hill First Assembly of God, we've got to let people in this community know what the answer is. That even though we have difficulties, and even though we are living true lives, and we're authentic community of faith, and we're not playing or trying to be somebody we're not, we're real people serving a real God who has real solutions for this day and this hour. Amen. So we've got to reflect and bring glory to God in the middle of difficulty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've asked, let's just all stand together right now. I want us to posture ourselves in these closing moments. I've asked our prayer team if they would come and join me across the platform, if you guys would come at this time, and just group up, if you will, and face the congregation. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and if you guys could get some music for me, I'd appreciate it. I'm going to pray a prayer today that God would help us to be real with one another. If you're going through some places of anxiety in your life, if you're going through a difficult situation in a place that's very real for you, it's a very painful place in your life, and you want the community of faith to come around you, and we're going to pray for strength over you today. We're not here to embarrass anyone, but we're here. Is it okay that we're family today? We're family when you come together. We're a community of faith, and that's what I want us to be. And I don't want you to hesitate. If you want to come right now, and one of our prayer partners are here for you, we just want to come around you and believe in the power of God to bring encouragement to you today, no matter what you're facing, no matter what difficulty you're going through. Those watching online, we're agreeing with you right now in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit of God will come around you in that room right where you're at. Father, we just thank you right now for your Spirit in this place. Holy Spirit of God, come on, church, begin to call on God right now. Lord, we thank you that you hold the power, Lord, to break every chain in this room today in the name of Jesus. You hold the power, God, to break every chain to everyone watching online today. Whatever their pain is, God, you have the power to break those chains in the name of Jesus. We speak to sickness and disease. We speak to brokenness. We speak to anxiety. We speak to depression. And we proclaim the glory of God in the middle of that. And we say, Jesus, you're King of Kings. You're a Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Oh God, you are great in our situation. You are great in our weakness, oh Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to remind you of some scriptures this morning. In 1 John 4:4, those of you who have come to Jesus and know Him, it says you are from God. You are not from the world. And greater is the one who is in you than the one who is in this world. You have the power of God living in you. He's greater in you. James chapter 4 and verse 7, believers are told to resist the enemy. Maybe this is some corrective theology here. I don't believe for a moment that a saved follower of Jesus Christ can be demon possessed. It doesn't mix. We don't see that in Scripture. So when we pray over you, we're not praying a devil out of you, because you already know God, and the Holy Spirit lives in you, and the one who is in you is greater than he that's in this world. But we are praying. We're resisting the enemy. I don't see anywhere in the Bible, in the New Testament teaching, that there was a place where Christians were praying for other Christians for demons to be cast out. That's theologically something we don't see in Scripture. What we do see in Scripture, though, is that when we're praying for people, we're resisting the enemy. In Ephesians, Paul talks about us being in the armor of God, to stand ready with your feet shod, with the preparation of peace, with the helmet of salvation, with the breastplate of righteousness, with the sword of the Spirit. We are preaching and saying to you this morning that there is a place where we resist the enemy and we push back the strongholds of the enemy. Amen. So we pray in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name. And that's what we're going to pray right now. For chains to be broken off of your life. For chains, any oppression that the enemy's coming against you and placing places in your life of attack in your life. We're praying against those in the name of Jesus right now. Maybe there's a place in your life where you just, maybe there's some financial strongholds this morning that you need release in, you need the presence of God in. Maybe there's some relational strongholds in your life and you want us to agree with you this morning in prayer for that. Maybe there's an addiction. There's a sinful habit or addiction in your life that you need chains broken from this morning. Come on. Come on. Don't tarry any longer. Let us pray for you this morning.